Although it was taboo for Owa to hunt, the Kalahari bloomed in a rich and rare abundance both below and above the ground. There were flowers and green leafy plants to be eaten as salads, roots and tubers, fruits and protein-rich nuts, and the waterholes, all of them brimming, were easy marches apart. Only the wind hampered them, standing steadily into their faces, hot and abrasive, with blown sand, forcing them to cover their faces and their leather shawls and lean into it. The mixed herds of fat, handsome zebra and ungainly blue wildebeest with their scraggy manes and skinny legs standing out on the wide pans or on the grassy glades turned their rumps into the sultry blast. The wind ripped the talcum-fine dust off the surface of the pans and whirled it into the sky, turning air misty so the sun itself was a hazy orange globe and the horizon shrank in upon them. The dust floated on the surface of the waterholes in a thin scum, and it turned to mud in their nostrils and grated between their teeth. It formed little wet beads in the corners of their eyes and dried and cracked their skins so that Hani and Santen had to roast and crush the seeds of the sour plum tree to extract the oil to dress their skins and the soles of their feet. However, with each day's march, the old people became stronger, more active and excited. They seemed less and less affected by the scouring wind. There was a new jauntiness in their step, and they chattered animatedly to each other on the march while Santen faltered and dropped far behind, almost as she had done at the beginning. On the fifth evening after crossing the ridge, Santen staggered into the camp that the San had already set up on the edge of yet another open pan. Santen lay on the bare earth, too hot and exhausted, to gather grass for her bed. When Hani came to her with food, she pushed it away petulantly. "I don't want it. I don't want anything. I hate this land. I hate the heat and the dust." "Soon, Hani," soothed her, "very soon we will reach the place of all life, and your baby will be born." But Santen rolled away from her. "Leave me. Just leave me alone." She woke to the cries of the old people, and she dragged herself up, feeling fat and dirty and unrested, even though she had slept so late that the sun was already tipping the tops of the trees on the far side of the pan. Immediately she saw that the wind had dropped during the night, and most of the dust had settled out of the air. The residue transformed the dawn to a kaleidoscope of flamboyant colour. "Namchal, do you see it?" Hani called to her, and then thrilled like a Christmas beetle, inarticulate with excitement. Santen straightened up slowly and stared at the scene that the dust clouds had obscured the previous evening. Across the pan, a great whale-backed mountain rose abruptly out of the desert, steep-sided and with a symmetrically rounded summit. Aglow with all the rich reds and golds of the dawn, it looked like a headless monster. Parts of the mountain were bald and bare, glowing red rock and smooth cliffs, while in other places it was heavily forested, trees much taller and more robust than those of the plain crowned the summit, or grew up the steep sides. The strange reddish light suffused with dust, and the silences of the African dawn cloaked the entire mountain in majestic serenity. Santen felt all her miseries and her woes fall away as she stared at it. "The place of all life." As Hani said the name, her agitation passed, and her voice sank to a whisper. "This is the sight we have travelled so far and so hard to look upon for the last time." Owa had fallen silent as well, but now he bobbed his head in agreement. "This is where we will make our peace at last with all the spirits of our people." Santen felt the same sense of deep religious awe that had overcome her when first she had entered the Cathedral of Arras. Holding her father's hand and looked up at the gem-like stained glass in high, gloomy recesses of the towering nave. She knew that she stood on the threshold of a holy place, and she sank slowly to her knees and clasped her hands over the swell of her stomach.